Please to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter number 18. I'm going to read 10 verses for you as you follow. And then I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open to that chapter. We'll read most of the chapter before the Bible study is over tonight. Exodus chapter number 18. Verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. The name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, saith he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said to Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Keep your Bibles open there. We're going to continue after a while, Father, as we come to study the book. And we study it right. Bless our study and our meeting tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, bless now the next few minutes, and may the will of God be accomplished through them. In Jesus' name, amen. I announced Wednesday night that I was going to bring you up to date concerning my physical condition and also concerning the future of my ministry and Mrs. Hiles and our ministry. Mrs. Hiles could not be here tonight. She wanted to be, but especially tonight. But she had oral surgery yesterday morning, rather severe oral surgery. And she had several stitches taken in her gums, and she's feeling fine, but not quite strong enough to come tonight. But she'll be here Sunday. But there's always two sides, a bad side and a good side. And the doctor told her she should not talk much for the next few days. And every man here understands what a blessing that is. But what I'm going to say tonight, I sat down this afternoon and told her carefully what I'm going to say and sought her approval. That's the only time in 51 years of pastoring I've ever asked her if it's okay what I said. Usually she just tells me I don't have to ask her. So, I'm going to do this. I don't want to do it. I'd rather teach the Bible, though I am going to give you a Bible lesson tonight in this discussion. But I felt like I owed it to you to tell you the way things stand. I will not repeat this. I will not ever, as far as I know, ever again, I don't in the foreseeable future anyway, talk like this to you. But I felt like we ought to sort of get together as a family, and I ought to talk to you. First, may I say that I feel fine. I don't have any pain of any kind. Well, I have 93 deacons, but other than that, I have no pain at all. And then there's Ms. Colston also. Not to mention Brother Moffitt. But anyway, I feel good. I'm optimistic. I'm happy. I enjoy life. I cut up like I always have, and I enjoy living. I'm not depressed. I'm not melancholy. I'm not in any way down at all. But I was just going to start and talk you through it. Miss Hiles and I, we're not young anymore. I'm 72. I'll be 73 in just a little under three months. I do not know of a single preacher who's ever pastored a mega church. I'm talking now about one of the churches running thousands in attendance, who's pastored as long as I have. I do not know of any who pastored until they were 73 years of age. And, for example, Charles Spurgeon, I think, passed away at the age of 59. Dr. G.B. Vick at the age of 71 or so. Dr. J. Frank Norris at the age of 70. Dr. H.A. Ironside's about 70. And on it goes. So, naturally, for several years, Ms. Hiles and I have talked about what would we do in case I was not strong enough or able anymore physically to take care of the ministry here. Now you have to understand this, and I don't think I should stress this often, but pastors are busy who have fewer adults than we have in the choir tonight. We have pastors here tonight who are busy men, and they have fewer adults in their churches than we have ushers here. This is a tremendous empire here, unbelievable empire. And as far as I know, I think I'm the oldest man ever to pastor one of the churches with thousands in attendance. So we've talked about it. We made no plans. We talked about it. What if I did break down physically? And what if I could not pastor any longer? What would we do? Where would we live? We felt that it would be a hindrance, probably, to a new pastor who came in. And if I were sitting in the audience, though if I couldn't pastor, I'd still want to preach as often as I could, and I would sure travel some and preach, of course. But on occasion, I'd be in the audience, and I'd still be living here in the area. And not many young preachers would want to pastor a church with a former pastor who was there 40 years or more, sitting in the audience. So we felt like that it'd be best for the church, for us, well, not for the church, but for the next pastor, for us, in case I had to resign because of ill health, because I couldn't carry the load anymore, we felt like we should move to another area. We talked about Southern California. We talked about Texas, North Carolina, Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, Georgia, Florida, and other areas, perhaps where we could go and live in case I could not pastor because of my health. So we discussed it often, and we had made our decision to move out of the area if I got the place where my health would not let me continue. Let me say this, that this is not a resignation tonight. It's not a discussion about when I'm going to retire, or I don't plan to retire unless I'm a health calls me to have to. But we thought about that. So we settled on it. We would go somewhere and buy us a condominium, and we would make our home in some other area for the sake of the pastor here. Then came after pastor school, and I made a mistake in pastor school. I really did. I carried the load. Every class which was taught, I taught in pastor school. And it, quite frankly, did almost kill me. And after pastor school, immediately, I had the most severe back pain you've ever saw in your life. And it was not a back pain of a disc problem. It was a strange thing. And I got, for example, to where I, one Sunday night, walking from my office over here, I almost had to stop. But didn't do anything about it. Then I got to where I couldn't hug Mrs. Hiles. Now, that is a serious problem. And so I decided to try to get into Mayo. Well, I called Chris and asked her Chris Grafton at the college nurse. She has some friends in Mayo, and I said, see if you can get me in Mayo sometime in the next few weeks. She called back, and she said, there's been a cancellation. I can get you in tomorrow. That was at noon one day, and I left. within 2 hours from the time that I found I had an appointment the next day, I was on an airplane. This house couldn't even go with me because I had to rush home, get back, and just take off. And, of course, it takes a woman 3 days to pack for a five-hour trip. And so you're getting the truth tonight, folks. I'm preaching the truth to you. But so I went to Mayo, and I was stunned. I could not believe what they found wrong. I wondered if I had a stomach problem or a colon problem, or I didn't know. But I never thought about having a heart problem. Well, I went to the have what they call an echocardiogram, and that's where they you can see your heart beating there on the screen. And I hope that Jeff will not be upset with me because I watch television there. But I watched my heart there, and the technician said that it'll take about 45 minutes for this test, and then we'll converse with a doctor or two. About 15 minutes, with an hour, you ought to be finished. But I sat there on the table while he was doing it, and did it over again, and it was an hour and a half on that table with a technician. And then he went to the doctor and then brought the doctor back in, and the doctor gave me the same test over again, and I was there much longer than the hour that he had predicted. And then I went for the report and found that I had, and I mentioned this to you before, aortic stenosis. Aortic stenosis is a blockage or a partial blockage of the main artery that leads to the heart, the aorta. And I found out that's what I had. I was stunned. I had no idea in the world I had a heart condition. Well, I came back home, and then I got thinking about what we'd do if I had retired because of health. And I thought, what if I retired, went to Southern California or Seattle, Washington, or Atlanta, North Carolina, or Texas, and some distant state, and what if my life were taken? What would happen to Mrs. Hiles? There she'd be without me in a distant state and without the people here that she loves and love her the most. And so I wrestled with that thing for quite some time. By that I mean several days. And what would happen to Mrs. Hiles? And then I made a decision that affected our future. And if this is a wrong decision, if you think it is, I certainly will give you the right to think that, but I do not think it is. I made a decision that I would choose my wife over my successor. I felt that my first allegiance was to Mrs. Hiles, and so I decided that we would stay right here in the area as long as either of us live. And because of that, we decided to buy a condominium to sell our house. We've lived in over 40 years. And we love Munster. We've lived in Munster for nearly 40 years. And so we decided we would buy a condominium somewhere in Munster. We looked at three different ones, and then we found the one we felt was the one for us. It's a two-bedroom condominium. It has two baths. It has I won't tell you all about it, but it is just as nice as you would want to find, and a wonderful place for us to spend the rest of our lives. In the condominium, there are, I think, 39 or 40 condominiums, and 20 of those are occupied by senior people who live alone. In fact, in our little wing, we're the only married couple in our little wing, and we have very quiet place, and we love it very much, and we're very happy with it. We do not think that we're not people who got so old we had to scale down a little bit and cried. We didn't shed one tear when we left our other place. We left it for one reason. This house got too old to mow the yard, and I felt the least I could do for it, and that's what I like to do, the least I can do. And so we moved. Now, our decisions about that. Number one, we have decided, by the way, I said a while ago, I talked to her this afternoon, spent, 45 minutes going through what I was going to say tonight, and we had discussed it, and this is us talking and not just me. Number one, by the way, our decisions are made by your preacher, by Mrs. Hiles, and our doctors. the doctors here and the doctors at Mayo Clinic. We put all of their advice and counsel together, and they helped us make the decision, though I have not passed this through by them. Their advice and their counsel has helped us to make these decisions. I've been taking treatments now for about 3 months. I took the last one this past week, and we do not know what good they've done. I don't know. I'm in no pain whatsoever. There's something wrong in there, and I don't know how bad it is or how good it is. But I'm optimistic. Now, number one, on the basis of what our doctors have said, and by the way, all of our doctors haven't agreed. Even the doctors at Mayo did not agree. One doctor at Mayo thought I should have open heart surgery immediately. The other doctor thought, one doctor, another doctor said, it's not even that you have your heart problem, but he said that your main problem is your esophagus. And I do have a hiatal hernia, and the esophagus problem, had that for years. And so they didn't agree. So we just took everybody's advice, put it in the computer, and then came out with this decision. Number one, to pastor as long as health permits. Until I feel like I can no longer be what you need, or until you feel someone else could better meet your needs. I have no intentions. I hope that what I'm going to tell you tonight can extend my pastorate here for another 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I'd like to pastor till I'm 80, and the college people are asking me to state that I've been here 50 years, and that'll be till I'm almost 83. But I'm agile. I may look 72, but the way I get around, I don't get around like a 72-year-old man. I don't think like a 72-year-old man. My mind is as sharp and as witty. Well, sort of half witty. I think quickly. I'm alert in my thinking, I have no intentions of resigning the church. I will not do so until my health requires it, or I feel like I can not be what you need, or until you feel that someone else could better meet your needs. Number two, we have decided I will have to cut back some. Now, we've already cut back a little bit. As you know, Ms. Niles and I are taking two vacations a year. We're gone two Sundays in the summer, and one Sunday in the dead of winter. We decided now to be gone two Sundays in the summer, and from October until March in the wintertime. I've been driving around town trying to find a sign on the back of a truck that says, Honolulu, Hawaii. And if I ever find it, you know what we're going to do. In fact, I may paint the sign myself. Today, I was walking down the condominium hallway, and the engineer there who oversees the equipment, we're talking, and he said, years ago, I saw something on television about you that had a lasting impression. And I said, what is it? And he said, I saw on television. I didn't even know it was on television. I saw the story of your leaving Texas and coming to Hammond. He said it had something to do with a truck that had Hammond on the back of it and a sign beside the road. And he said, that made a lasting impression on me. I've never forgotten it, and I told him the real story, and which is just about like he had heard it. But anyway, I've cut back some. Ms. House and I have been now for a couple, 3 years, taking two Sundays off for vacation in the summertime and one Sunday in the dead of winter. Also, I have cut back in recent months my outside speaking engagements. For 40 years, nearly, I spoke every Monday and Tuesday out of town except Vacation Bible School and Pastor School. Now that we've cut that back, I'm only traveling every other week now, and instead of going every week of the year, I'm going every other week, and every other week I'm at home all week long. Number one was half as many outside engagements. Number two, we have decided, and this is with the advice of doctors and our own personal feeling, this is not any one person said do this. Some said do it. Some did not mention it. Probably some think I should not do this, but it was consensus opinion of all the information put in the computer, that I should not stay after services where I preach around the country and sign Bibles. I sometimes will stay 2 hours and do nothing but sign Bibles after the services. And so I don't do that anymore. I go from the service during the closing prayer, go to the car, get back to the room so I can watch a movie on HBO. And that's helped me greatly. But I look, visitors, I'm just kidding. I don't want this spread around the country now. It's on NBC. But then, number three, you know, have as much outside speaking engagements, not to stay after the service to sign Bibles. Number three, to put priorities first here. I have for all these years averaged between 80 and 90 hours a week working for the church. I'm talking about studying. I'm talking about counseling. I'm talking about meetings. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about keeping this thing going. I have averaged 80 to 90 hours a week all of these many, many long years. Now, I can't do that anymore. I've cut it down to 63 hours a week, and I'll tell you more about that after a while. But now, in order to cut it down from 80 to 90 hours a week, and the reason I'm doing it, I don't want to. Good night, it's like cutting my arm off. But years ago, the church got so big, I couldn't make all the hospital calls. And so we asked Brother Colson if he would to be in charge of being the one who makes the hospital calls. Brother Colson preaches more funerals than I do. And that was like cutting my right arm off. I mean, like kill me when I envy him, because that's one of the things that I enjoy the most. But Brother Colson can do that as well as I can. But Brother Colson can't oversee this empire here as well as I can. So I had to cut that out of my schedule years ago. Now, the priorities, I feel this. I feel like that I need to do the things that someone else could not do. So, for example, keep this ministry going. I oversee everything. I keep the school, Hammond Baptist Schools going. I keep the City Baptist Schools going. I keep Howells Anderson College going. I keep the Sunday School going. I keep all the staff people and everybody, all these 500 some people that are employed here. I oversee all of that and all the church business. I keep my hands on all of it and all the church finances. In other words, I'm, if you would please, the CEO of this great empire around here. And sometimes I call it an empire, sometimes I call it a monster, but it's huge. It's unbelievably so. So I feel like that is something that I must put first. I also feel like that I must retain my position as your leader. I'm not your boss. I'm not your boss at all. I'm your servant, but I'm your leader. I've never asked you to obey me. I only have the power of influence. As I said a while ago at teacher's meeting, I only have the power of influence. I hold no office in the corporation here. This man right here is the president of the corporation, and five of our deacons are trustees in the corporation, and two of our deacons are vice presidents of the corporation. One of our deacons is secretary of the corporation. I have no office at all, only the power of influence. But I do feel that no one on the staff could lead as well as I could. And then I plan to lead and preach and teach. And I'm going to show you the scripture behind that in a few minutes. Basically, I tried to find some leader or preacher who had been through what I'm through, going through right now. And I can't find anybody. All of the men that pastored big churches, I'm talking about the huge churches, the longest, when they got the age I am, they were, for example, recently... pastor in Madison, Ohio, church about 1,500 in Sunday school. About 70 years old, he retired, and now he's preaching in Bible conferences around the country. But I found one person that faced something like what I faced, who led many people and did it into his 70s and until he was way past 80. And that person was Moses. in the Bible. And I want you to notice a chapter in the Bible that has influenced me greatly. I'll explain more about it in a while. You turn to Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter number 18. Now before I begin reading, I want to remind you what we read a while ago. God had marvelously delivered the Israelites. Look at me now. He had marvelously delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh, Egyptian bondage, and the waters of the Red Sea. Now then, they crossed the Red Sea, and God is about to call Moses up to Mount Sinai and give Moses the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone, as well as instructions for how to build the tabernacle. Before that happens, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to see Moses, and Moses tells Jethro of all the blessings that God has poured out upon his people and delivering them from bondage and the Red Sea and so forth. So we read the verses a while ago down to where Jethro was praising God for all that God had done. Now I want you to notice in verse number 13 something very similar to what I face here. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. Now look at me. That word judge there is the same word as counsel. And I'm not talking about he was the judge that sent folks to jail. He counseled with the people. So it says it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge or counsel the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. Now that means from early morning to late evening, Moses did nothing but counsel. You know, for 40 years here, I've averaged, get this now, 147 counseling sessions a week. My doctors at Mayo said they'll kill anybody. They said, that's foolish. You can't do that. But I've done that. I have started counseling Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. I've counseled straight through until 10, 11 o'clock on Saturday nights. And many a night, I've counseled from 5:30 at night until midnight, one person after the other. Moses had the same thing here. It says, the people stood by Moses, with Moses from the morning to the evening. And Moses' father-in-law saw that all he did, this is verse 14, to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening? Look at me. Moses' father-in-law said, Moses, what in the world are you doing? You're all from morning till evening, you're just going. And by the way, you try that sometime. You try counseling with somebody having marital problems, and then you go right from that to somebody whose son is in trouble with the law. Then you go right from that to somebody, a couple of church members can't get along with each other. Then you go right from that to the meeting with the college, and then meeting with the high school, and all day long. Sometimes I will have over 200 questions I have to answer and decisions I have to make in a Saturday morning alone when I meet with the people, the leaders of our schools. So he said, look down to verse 15 now. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And I was asking advice. When they have a matter, they come to me. Now there it is. Same thing we face here. Same thing. And I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. He said, Moses, you can't spend your life. And I'll show you after a while, he told Moses he wouldn't even live if he continued doing that. And look at verse 18. Thou wilt surely wear away. Said Moses, you keep on doing all this counseling, you surely will wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Now wait a minute, Moses was 80 years of age at this time. And his father-in-law said, this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I love this. And I'll give thee counsel. Moses' father-in-law said, you're so good at counseling. Now you sit still, and I'll give you some counsel. And I'll give you counsel. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Now get this. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and teach the Bible to them, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, that's lead them, and the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth. Now, look at me, and I'll tell you what he said. He's saying, Moses, you choose great men who to work with you, and let them help you in this counseling. There's one thing I know, that I have the greatest men of God in the world sitting behind me on this platform, and men who serve with me are the greatest men of God. And so Moses' father-in-law said, Moses, somebody's got to help you with all of this counseling. Now, let's see, look at verse number 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. Every great matter. But every small matter they shall judge. Look at me. Now, this is important now because this is my life and my ministry here. He said, let these other men help you. There are matters that only you could decide about. Now, he said, you take care of the great matters. But these small matters, he said, let these other men counsel. And verse number 23, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure. He said, Moses, you're going to die. You're going to wear out. You can't endure what you're doing. And he said, let other men take care of the smaller matters, and let you take care, if you please, the emergency matters, is what he said. Look down to verse number 26. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Now look at me, I'm through reading. Look at me, let me talk to you. What can I cut? How can I cut from 80 to 90 hours a week to 63 hours a week? What can I cut? Can I cut the overseeing of Howells Anderson College? No, I'm too much needed there. Can I cut the overseeing of the Hammond Baptist Schools? No, I'm too much needed there. How about the finances of the church? No, I'm too much needed there. How about the teaching and preaching of the Bible and so forth? No, I'm too much needed there. Now, where can I cut? Well, God led Moses' father-in-law to tell him where to cut, and Moses did, as his father-in-law said, because he said it was as unto God. And so I felt like, since I only had one person who faced what I faced, at my age or slightly older, I felt that that's what I would have to do also. So let me give you some suggestions that I'm making and about the counseling. Number one, and the doctors at Mayo Clinic told me that this was a must. They said, by the time you teach your Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and then you preach immediately after that on Sunday, and then take care of all the activities on Sunday, they said, you can't stay around there till 1:30, 2 o'clock anymore, standing in your office with people coming one after another, after another, after another. So it's consensus of the doctors that I do not see people after the services unless it's an emergency and I ask them to come by. Number two, I'm suggesting that if you have a problem that I could help you with by mail, I'm suggesting that you write your problem on a piece of paper. Don't stick it under my door. I get everything under my door. Sometimes I'll have 200 or 300 pieces of paper under my door, and they get stuck to each other. And sometimes they'll fly into the office under a chair somewhere. But so if you want counseling, don't stick the note under my door. My secretaries will be in their office, Ms. McKinney's office. If she's not there, Michelle Hart will be there in Ms. McKinney's office after the service for 5 minutes. If you have a problem and you feel that I could help you by mail, you simply write your problem down, take it to my secretaries after Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, or Sunday evening service, and I will take time to read your problem at a time when I'm a little more relaxed, and I will answer you by mail. I told my wife that, and she said, Ms. Bordway is not going to like that. She types all of my letters. Well, Ms. Bordway is not going to tell me what to do. She tells Brother Bordway what to do, and he tells me what to do. But that's in some cases that could be done. You could write me and ask me about advice, and I'll get to it just as soon as I can, which should be within 48 hours, and dictate an answer to you. Next thing, if you have a problem that could be handled over the telephone, rather than seeing me after the service, if you would just come by my secretary's office, or better still, if you just call and ask for Ms. McKinney or Ms. Shellhart and tell them that you believe that there is something, a counseling that you need, we can handle by telephone, then that would enable me at a time when I'm a little less pressed to call you on the phone and counsel with you by phone. You understand this. Sometimes I'll have 65 people just on a Sunday morning come by and ask me for an appointment during the week. Now think about that. That's just Sunday morning. Plus, I get letters and phone calls every week from pastors all across the country. I've got 5 on my desk right now. We need to talk to you. We have a problem in our church. We need to talk with you. It's just pressure, 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 pressure. But if I could answer by mail or answer by telephone, I'll be glad to do that. So all you need to do, if you want to write your problem down, I'll answer it by mail. Or if I can do it by telephone, you call, ask Ms. McKinney or Ms. Shellhart, and they will let me know, and I'll call you back within a matter of a couple of days at least, and try to counsel by phone. Now then, the next. Emergencies. I will see people who have emergencies. However, I'll not be able to see you after the services Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I can see you, but again, I'll have Ms. McKinney or Ms. Shellhart in Ms. McKinney's office for 5 minutes after the service. If you have an emergency, you come by and tell them, and I will see you as soon as I can for a personal appointment. Like the great things that Moses was talking about, the emergencies, if you please. But I cannot see 147 people like I've been doing it. I can't do it. I just can't. Again, of all the things that my doctors have been upset about, this is the one that's the most. They said, for example, with your heart condition, you've got to get cholesterol down. Now, they said tension will cause your cholesterol. My cholesterol was a little bit high. 1,217, something like that. But it was too high. And, of course, I've cut out sweets altogether. I have not had a Reese's peanut butter cup since March 20th, I think it is. I'd kill for one, or I'd die for one. In fact, I've about decided it's better to die young, die soon with Reese's peanut butter cup. What a way to go. But I'm not eating sweets of any kind. And also, the doctor said tension is something that causes the cholesterol count to go high. Now then, that means that again, I'll not be allowed to see people after the services. I will answer a problem by mail if that will help, or by telephone if that will help, or if it is an emergency or a great problem, tell Ms. McKinney or Ms. Shellhart after any public service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and leave your name and phone number, and I will get to you just as soon as I can. Now, let me say it again. I do not plan, unless you think it's best, or unless I feel it's best for you, or unless my health does not permit, I do not plan to resign the church and not pastor the church. I hope I can continue this kind of schedule. Let me tell you how I feel. Dr. Robertson was here a time or two ago. As you know, I whisk him out of here. I don't let him stay around and sign Bibles. I get him out of here. And somebody came to me in several of the aisles. Why couldn't Dr. Robertson sign my Bible? Well, he could if you were the only one here. But you let me stop him right here to sign one Bible. And I'll promise you, in a church this size, he'll be here 2 hours signing Bibles. And I said to this person, you're going to have to choose one of these days whether you want Dr. Robertson's signature or Dr. Robertson. He's got to do it. Now, one of these days, I'll be gone, and somebody's going to have to do all the counseling and so forth. But I believe if I could take care of the emergencies and these other plans, I believe I can last longer, and I hope maybe another 10 years. I told God when I was 60, I wanted 10 more years. When I was 70, I came back and said, I made a mistake. I meant 20 is what I meant. And now, let me say this, and I'll be through. And if at any time you feel I should step aside, I promise you, you will not have any argument from me at all. I could not have asked for a greater people, more loyal people. The greatest Christians I know in the world are sitting in this room tonight. And the most loyal people. Your loyalty has been tested and proved. And if I no longer pastor this church, I would praise God forever for the loyalty that you've shown to me. So that any time you feel I should step aside, I will do it. I'll do it graciously. And if I do, though, I want to warn you. If I do get to the place where I can no longer pastor, or you feel like I cannot be to you what somebody else could be, I'm still going to live here. If I outlive Ms. Hiles, I'll live in this area and be a member of this church until I die. If she outlives me, she'll be a member until she. Anyway, if I die first, I'll be a member until I die. If she dies first, I'll keep on coming. Both of us plan to stay in our condominium and in this church the rest of our lives. Now, let's suppose that my health were to prevent me from carrying this giant load. And you have no idea the load. There's no way you can. I mean, you take Brother Young and Brother Lafina and Brother Scott and others. They have one little segment of this church. In some cases, two operate. I have over 50 different ministries I have to oversee. Plus, if when they I'm going on vacation and they preach, they got a whole year to study. I spent all day yesterday preparing for next Sunday morning. All day. And preparing just for next Sunday morning. I can't pull out my sugar stick. I happen to know that Brother Young, who preached last Wednesday night, he preached a sermon he's preached across the country. I've heard it 2,317 times. And I'd love to hear it again tomorrow. It's a great sermon and a tremendous sermon. But I can't do that. The guys that preach on chapel at the college preach on chapel, say, once every few months, and they got a few months to prepare. Not me. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teachers meeting at the college about every other week, and so forth. And the load is unbelievable. I love it. I love it. I wish I were 40 years old again. I could carry the whole thing like I could at 40 and get 3 or 4 hours sleep a night. I can't live on 3 or 4 hours sleep anymore. I can't do that. I have to have 16 hours sleep every night if I make it, and then an afternoon nap also. But if I get to the place to where I or you feel that I can no longer be what you need, then I'm planning to stay here. I'll go to Howells Anderson College. I'll teach Bible at Howells Anderson College. I'll teach the rest of my life if it needs to be. If I can't carry this big load, I'll go out there and teach how to build churches I'll teach in the church ed class. And I'll teach Bible. I'll train the preacher boys. If I get to where I can no longer teach Bible, I'll preach on chapel out there once a week and to the students there. And if I can't do that, if I can't walk the pulpit, I'll have them roll me in a wheelchair and I'll hold a microphone in front of me and I'll preach from a wheelchair. And if I get to where I can't do that, I'll sit in a hospital, in a clinic room out there, and you can come by and I'll counsel with you from my bed. Here where I can't do that, I'm just staring in space. I'll just stare there. You can come by and look at me like a statue, a museum piece. But I want to warn you now that I'm here for as long as I live. When you say, Brother House, how about that pastor that follows you? He can just do the best he can. Because I refuse to put Ms. Hiles in some corner of America and live the rest of her life, if I'm gone, with people that don't love her. And I'll guarantee you one thing. If I can get to the place where I have to just teach at the college, I can't carry the load because of my health, any other reason, I promise you this. I will be the best friend the new pastor has. And I will be his most loyal follower and his biggest booster. I promise you that. And I'll tell you this another thing, too. There's not a more gracious person on the face of God's green earth than Beverly Joyce Hiles. and I promise you that she'll give no problem to any pastor's wife. She'll be gracious in every way in the world. Now, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I feel good. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on going. And folks who come to church, we had a member here last Sunday night. He lives a good distance here now, hour two drive. And he was a member here years ago, and he hasn't been here, I guess, for 30 years, 25, 30 years maybe. He was an inner circle member, and he happened to see Mrs. Bordway. Is she? And so he walked up to them and said, told him his name, and I think I'm telling the truth here. He said that's what the house doing. So last Sunday night he came to see how I was doing, and my wife met him at the altar, and shook his hand. He was down at fellowshipping, and he said to her, or somebody, he said, I'm shocked. He said, it's been years. Well, the house is 70, almost 73. Said I thought it'd be a old feeble man walk out there on the platform and give some little talk with through his senile mind and quick squeaky voice. Why, he said, Brother Howe preaches just like he used to. And so I'm nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. I can't see in there, and there's something wrong. But I guess it's still flowing through there. I wouldn't be standing up here right now. And the doctors are trying to open it up some to where it will flow a little bit better. So that's my story, and I brought you up to date. And I believe I can do you more good by cutting down to 63 hours for the next 10 years than I can by working 80 to 90 hours for the next 10 months and then having to stop. Shall we stand, please? Bus workers, you may go to your meeting.